Welcome to the Tripod. We break down every NRL game from a punting perspective. Just Winnie here, barbecuing alone to recap NRL round 15, which has just completed with the Sharks getting shellacked by the Melbourne Storm, which was a bit surprising, but that'll be the last game I discuss. I've got seven to talk about. Still one tomorrow. Clarkie's off gallivanting around, having a good family weekend, making the most of the long weekend that you've got down south. So help me out, guys. If you are watching live, I appreciate your comments, letting me know it's all coming through all right, and sharing your reaction and your thoughts to the round. Any Origin news or rumors, if that breaks, you know, let me know, because I've pretty much jumped on here. My understanding is what both teams will be named tomorrow, so we can talk a little bit of Origin, because there were Origin implications this round. And of course, we'll talk about how our betting results went, which wasn't that great, I guess. Two best bets, one bad loss, and then one good win. So 1-1, but losing the mixed matchup, $2.50 price, but we lose on a 6-all. So we lose on that tie, the dreaded tie. I can't remember if we've lost on a tie this season. That always hurts, but you get one leg pretty right, which was going against Brisbane in the first half. They only managed 6 points. But the other leg you get pretty wrong, taking Canberra second half against New Zealand, and they only got that one try, and they were kind of lucky to get that one. If you do stick with me, it's going to be a short pod tonight. We're going to have a bonus tip on another sport at the end of the show, and a bonus try scorer tip for the game tomorrow. As Leanne says, Blues might not name their team till Tuesday. So, of course, I forgot there is that Monday public holiday game in New South Wales tomorrow. So maybe that does delay the naming of the teams. And, you know, an extra 24 hours. We already previewed that. Of course, go back to Wednesday if you want our full preview on Dogs Eels. I should say as well, the same game, it wasn't close because I built that into Canberra. So, not the best weekend by any account. But let's find out how the punters went first of all, because I've got a clip here from Tristan to let us know where the action was.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. It's been a very different week of NRL action. We started the weekend with the Titans finally putting in an 80 effort performance. That was very, very good for all the other Titans fans out there. Then Friday night kicked off and there was a lot of money for the Raiders, obviously, with Jared Croker's milestone game. So that was by far and away our best result of the weekend. But then we gave plenty of it back in the Manly game, where that was one-way traffic against the Dolphins. They were very, very well backed in all different formats, and of course when there's a high scoring game like that, the anytime try scorers are pretty ugly. Then the Dragons game was actually very, very well supported as well. They were well backed, and that was an ordinary result from us. And then the game on Saturday night between the Broncos and the Knights, that also saw a good chunk of money for the Broncos, and we thought we were going to get all the multis rolled when the Knights held that lead late, but the Broncos just came back, but obviously couldn't cover the spread, so we got our nose in front there. It's been a very, very interesting weekend. We've obviously got a game tomorrow, which has been pretty balanced since we made that move. Obviously, there's been some moves with the Dylan Brown out, so you know, since we've got it to the key number we're at now, it hasn't really seen too much activity. So see what happens tomorrow. Hope you're back to winner over the weekend, and of course, gambled responsibly.
Thanks to Tristan. So we'll start with the Thursday night game as I bring that back up on screen. Titans 28 defeating West Tigers 12. Unsurprisingly, the Titans got out to a good start. 16-6 halftime lead. And the question was, can they hold this double-digit lead? And it's hard to give them a lot of credit, I guess, because of the controversial incident where Appy Korosau gets a broken jaw. We know instantly that the end of his Origin campaign could be 6 to 8 weeks minimum. Some controversy there because it's caused by the Titans captain Tino. For what it's worth, I didn't think it looked too bad in terms of the action of kind of raising the bumpers. I think there can be unfortunate collisions in the game. But clearly the implications for this game was it was going to be very hard for the Tigers to chase points once they lost their captain and best player. And then Brooks as well, strained a hamstring second half. And I actually felt like the Titans were wobbling a little bit, trying to give the Tigers a chance here or there, but the Tigers just couldn't really take it. When you're missing your two kind of most important spine players, it's very hard to, you know, connect. If the Tigers had been able to, say, take one more chance late, and I also think the Titans just about got an intercept try there because the Tigers were getting very sloppy, maybe West could have made Gold Coast nervous, but Gold Coast wasn't going to give this lead up. And the other takeaway being that Brimson was back at fullback for the Titans, and he is a big boost for the Gold Coast. So I know that Clarkie was happy after that one. Then Clarkie was in attendance for the next game Friday night, which was, as Tristan touched on, the big milestone game for Kroger. 300th game, you know, one of the biggest crowds for Canberra in the last few decades, talking about one of their biggest home games. And that was part of the reasoning baked into why I really thought the Raiders were going to excel in this. So my best bet was Raiders minus 4.5, as well as building the second half total into the mixed matchup. But the Warriors were the winners, 36-14. And if you would have told me 20 minutes into this game someone was going to win, you know, by 20 points, I would have been certain it was the Raiders, because they had the perfect start. They had all the ball, they had all the field position. They didn't take as many chances as they should have, but they did score off a deflected kick to get 6-0 up. Then the Warriors had a man sent to the bin. It couldn't have been gone any better. Now, I will admit, they were getting all the calls. It felt like the atmosphere and the occasion was certainly working in the Raiders' favour. But once they were up a man and having all that mounting pressure, they had to extend that lead. That lead had to go 2-3 tries. That's what you'd expect if you looked at the stats and saw how lopsided it was. Over 60% possession to the Raiders in the first half. And yet, a couple of errors, a couple of close calls, you know, a bunker call, I can live with it. The grounding call, Elliot Whitehead, you nearly could give it to them and it'd be 12-0, but they don't. And the Warriors go down the other end, score a try off a kick on fifth tackle while still down to 12. And suddenly it's 6-6. And although the Raiders did add a penalty goal, 8-6 felt like a win to the Warriors. However, even at halftime, I was still pretty confident in the bet just because of all the work that the Warriors had gone through. You never like it when your team has had lion's share possession and territory and hasn't used it. But you also think it still would have had a kind of a cumulative fatigue effect on New Zealand, but it wasn't to be. New Zealand was the one, although they'd done a lot more work, they just stayed firm and they earned their way back into the game and more so. And it was really on the back of Sean Johnson and, of course, Nickel Klukstad. He scores the first opportunity he gets. So I think it had been about 2 New Zealand trips to the try line for 2 tries. And I'm just cursing that because a week ago, the same gamer, when the Warriors trounced the Dolphins, was just missing a CNK try. So, of course, he came back to haunt us this week by scoring, basically beating Jared Croker, who was the man we were looking for in this game. And that got New Zealand in front. They never looked back. New Zealand scored, I think, 4 or 5 second-half tries in a period of about 15, 20 minutes and completely put the game away. So, you know, I go back to the bet. It's a very bad bet. And I guess the fundamental premise of my bet here, as well as thinking the Raiders would get up for this, I thought the Raiders are actually the better team. But when you look at a game like this where everything was favouring Canberra and they're at home, the conditions, the way the game played out, for New Zealand to beat them so handily, you probably say, I just got that wrong. I got to respect New Zealand that much more, even though I had been on New Zealand the previous 2 weeks for best bets. So I'm not ignoring them. I didn't think this was a good spot for New Zealand, but they're proving that sometimes they're actually playing well when I don't expect it. And then they're actually, you know, failing in the games where you'd think it was a bit more favorable, like that home game against Brisbane. Whereas for Canberra, what can you say? Like, that's extremely disappointing, a game like this, you know, in the top 8 race, in the ladder race, but also just for the occasion to fail so miserably. So that one did hurt. I'm sorry I got that one so badly wrong. Later on Friday night, this was never a game, unfortunately. Seagulls 58 against Dolphins 18. But just to go back to the last game, Jeremy Kerwin says, Winnie, do you think the Warriors got rough calls on the high shots, particularly Sean Johnson? The Sean Johnson one I thought was an accident. I thought it was basically a head clash. I do think the Raiders got the rub of the green. No pun intended, though. So back to Manly Dolphins. So you've got a 40-point win by Manly off the back of scoring 4 tries in the first 15 minutes. So this is where I say it was never a contest. And that's despite the Hammer and JMK being back for the Finns. Thing is, Manly was off a bye, off a disappointing loss to Newcastle, where they were undermanned. So it was a great spot for Manly to bounce back. I did talk about it being a good spot on Wednesday and that I could only look to Manly. And if they play the way they can, they'd win double digits. Well, they won double digits and beyond. Playing from in front, they had all the confidence. They could you know, kick early and behind, shift the ball at will, and Garrick and Turbo were having a bit of a day out. So Manly's the kind of team, we accuse them sometimes of being that kind of bully side that can be a bit of a front runner. They need to prove it by beating some, you know, some of the competition contenders to prove that they can enter that conversation. But we all know that at least when Manly have their tails up, they certainly can look good and they can run riot. As Blanchie enters the chat, not a great weekend for marine life. So, well, the Eels play tomorrow, but off the top of my head, Sharkies didn't look good today. Dolphins, who else am I missing there, Blanchie? Moving to Blanchie's team, the Dragons getting a big win on Saturday, and this was a pretty crazy game. So the final score was St. George 36, beating the Rabbitohs 30. Cody Walker was ruled out the day before the game, so the line crunched in from kind of 6.5 Rabbitohs favoured to just a 3.5 line. Rabbitohs still favoured. And at that point, people were asking me who I would tip in the forum, and I actually said I'd go Dragons head-to-head at that point. But we didn't have that information, you know, on Wednesday. Dragons were up for this from the start, in front of a strong crowd, leading 12-8 at halftime, including a beautifully worked try. You're seeing the good and the bad of the Dragons. There's a try with some beautiful touches from Sullivan, Fiungai, and finished by Ben Hunt. And then you're also seeing the typical Dragons giving up a try, a head-scratcher, where the bomb goes up, Ravalawa, Lomax, Sloan, they all look at each other. No one's interested in catching it. Well, if you're not going to catch it, at least tackle the Souths player that catches it, but they didn't want to do that either. So Souths got the easiest try I've ever seen in the first half. But the second half was really the story in this one. The Dragons were super impressive, and I look at their forward pack, and they turn up, and they were just taking strong carry after strong carry, really working the Souths over in the middle. And we always talk about Souths' strengths kind of being their middle forwards. No Cam Murray, that middle's not as stiff, but I thought Kalo Matangi was doing a great job in the middle, and I do think he will do enough to get a Blues jersey, as a debut Blues jersey there. But Souths still should have had the better forward pack on paper, but not in this game. The Dragons earned the right through the middle, and that was enough to blow this game wide open and lead it 36-14, I think it was. And the crazy part is the score was 36-14 with like 4 minutes to go. And the Rabbitohs, you know, I think Damien Cook had a couple of scoots, felt like they came late in the game, and he did make a length of the field kind of break to set up a try. It felt like a consolation try at that point. Like I said, there's under 4 minutes to go. But then the Rabbitohs scored on the very next subsequent set when they received the kickoff. And then they scored again. And so it was three straight tries from the 76th to the 78th minute. And it was 36-30. And the Dragons were getting ultra nervous. And I'd never seen anything like it. And it would have been the craziest thing of all time if the Rabbitohs had gotten one more try. All three tries just down the right-hand side as well. The Dragons just couldn't stop it. You know, you let one or two in because you've gone to sleep. But you would have thought that wake up at least when the lead was cut to 10. But boy, some nervous moments, although St. George survived the final set, final of the game with the Rabbitohs throwing it around and trying to score down the right side again. So it's still a win for St. George, who came into this game, I think, bottom of the ladder. And obviously you get a great opportunity to pull an upset over a top four side with all the key players that are out for Souths. And I'm going to talk about those players again a little bit because we might have a little bit of you know, origin discussion. Next game, how about this one? Broncos 24, sorry, beat the Knights 20. Bring it up on the screen so you can see it. And the funny thing about this is the biggest point spread of the round, 13.5, 12.5, but probably the best game of the round. And not to give myself a pat on the back, because I had two best bets this round and one other one lost horribly, but the best bet here with the Knights plus 6.5 in the first half. You know, I acknowledge that Brisbane had beaten a best bet the previous 2 weeks, and I'd heard all about that. And when you are betting on the biggest underdog of the round, even if you might be right sometimes, those are the type of games that can get ugly. So if it goes wrong, so I took the Knights knowing that, you know, they could easily get blown away. And if they did, people would be after me with pitchforks. But you guys know with me, I think I'm always going to stick to my guns and never be afraid to make a bet, even if I know it's going to be unpopular, as this one was. And Tristan said that, you know, they still got top sport still got in front in this game, despite the fact that a lot of people just roll, you know, Brisbane head to head into their multi, which you certainly were nervous for because this one went down to the wire. But in the first half, not only did Newcastle cover the 6.5, they led the game 10-6, and it could have been even greater if the Knights could have scored with a 3-on-1 that would have put them up double digits. They blew that one, and then about a minute or two later, the Broncos are putting a bomb up, which the Knights let bounce. So you roll the dice when you let a bomb bounce, and Brisbane gets a wicked bounce, deflection, and I think it ends in the hands of Reynolds, and then he tosses it to Cobbo to level up the scores. But the Knights get in front again at the break through Kalen Ponga try. We got an awesome showdown of the two young superstars, Ponga and Walsh, that both want that Maroons number one. And although, well, Brisbane got the head-to-head win, in terms of the matchup, I think you could score a points victory to Ponga, but I'm pretty sure everyone acknowledges that Walsh gets a crack this series, and Billy Slater's more than happy with Walsh, and Walsh didn't do a lot wrong. It was just awesome to see that Ponga let everyone remember what he's capable of as well. And admittedly, when I say Knights could have been up more, like Gagai had an amazing try saver on Oates as well that was close. But what hurt in the first half was Brisbane only scored with about 5 or 10 to go in the half, and the mixed matchup actually could have won after looking no chance with only 6 on the board by Canberra. We needed Brisbane to score less than 6 the first half, so very unlikely. But as I say, there was only a few minutes left and the Knights were bang up for this one, so losing on a tie. And then in the second half, Brisbane got first blood, got their first lead of the match, but it was the Knights scoring a couple of, you know, back-to-back quick-fire tries down the right flank, Croker and Young, that got Newcastle up 20-12. I just want to stop and kind of talk about Newcastle and being in a position to win in games this season, because we all talk about the Gold Coast Titans and all these blown leads, but let's remember that Newcastle was up more than a converted try in the second half against Penrith, who's probably the best team in the competition. Unless you think maybe Brisbane's the best team in the competition, the Knights were up more than a converted try late in this one as well, not to mention up 10 or 12 late in the game against Manly. They didn't win any of those games. And, you know, in this occasion, I can't really blame Newcastle. It's more a case of what could have been, losing all these games when they're in position to win and pull some really big upsets this year. Just hasn't quite come together in the final moments of these games. But let's turn it around and look at the team that won and give a lot of credit to Brisbane, because Brisbane hasn't had a bye yet. Newcastle have had 2. Newcastle came in fresh and hungry and played a really strong game. But Brisbane didn't go away. It could have been a night where they just say it's not our night. But down 8, as I said, 12 minutes to go, Brisbane ends up scoring twice, including this dazzling winning try, Reynolds and Mam linking up for a try that would have lit up the whole Olympic City. And on Reynolds, he did everything he could to put his hand up for that Blues jersey. Let me know, guys, do you think he did enough? If you're a Blues fan, are you picking Reynolds? Do you think he's the right choice? And if you're a Queenslander, who don't you want the Blues to pick? I mean, I feel like a lot of Queenslanders, obviously Broncos fans, and they've seen firsthand the way Reynolds can control a game this year, and looks like he's playing as well as he ever has played. And he hasn't played for the Blues, I think, 7 years. And we'll talk about the other contenders as well and how they went this weekend. But just one more point on Brisbane. Basically won the game down in Cronulla a week ago on the back of defense. This week, they showed that they can also find points when they really need them as well. Bit of a surprising scoreline later. This is the one game I'm really kicking myself for. It's Panthers 30 defeating the Roosters 6 at Allianz. And the reason I'm kicking myself is because I said I leaned to Penrith, and Clarkie and I both made the same point on Wednesday that we were not impressed whatsoever by the Roosters' win over the Dogs, if you caught that game last week. So some people were thinking maybe the Roosters are back on track. That wasn't the case. I still thought they might get some confidence from that Dogs win. But as Leanne says, I hope they don't pick Burton. But is that because you're scared of Burton? Because I can see she's got the Maroons gear on. So Burton could be an option. I think there's no way Burton would get picked at 7, but could he get picked at 6? I think is a possibility. And if not, I think Burton will definitely be the utility. As John Richard says, I want Reynolds to just stay at the Broncos. But all his Broncos teammates and even his coach were endorsing him, because I think they just want to show how much they love him and they support him. Wayne Bennett endorsing Reynolds as well. Of course, he coached him for a few years. Harry Potter says the Roosters are absolutely useless. So getting back to Roosters, Panthers. So of course, Cleary was out. Like, if you didn't play Penrith, maybe you just thought, oh, I'm not sure how good Penrith are without Cleary. And that's fair enough. But Penrith still have so many other good players in key positions. When you're missing Cleary, as well as Colga comes in, steps in, all the other key players can just do a bit more. Whereas when you look at the Roosters, they're missing key players and everyone can't seem to do enough. Like, the players that they're really relying on seem overwhelmed and seem like they can't find something. And Teddy's really, you know, pushing in these games, but can't always create something. I know he got a couple of tries last week against the Dogs in a more open game, but in a tight game against a good opponent, that's been missing. Teddy used to be able to break this type of game open. Joey Manu, not the same player this year, in my opinion. I'm not sure if it was a really long campaign from last year or what. And obviously some other key personnel are still out for the Roosters as well. And I've been kind of biased towards the Roosters this year. And that was just an incorrect opinion I had that was too high about the Roosters, picking them to win the comp preseason. And quite a few times this year, even if I didn't bet them as a best bet, leaning their way, thinking this will be the week that the Roosters put it together. But when I said I leaned to Penrith this week, I feel like I should have realized if I'm leaning against the Roosters, it's probably a good bet against the Roosters. And in the end, the Roosters were horrible and had no answers in this one. Now, it was a tight game for 35 minutes. I think it's only 4-0 to Penrith and the Roosters are attacking and you're thinking Roosters could even get their nose in front at halftime. But after an error, the Panthers go 70 metres. Dylan Edwards' try was a real backbreaker. 10-0 at halftime. And then Penrith came out and scored 7 tries in the space of 3 minutes. Sorry, 7 in 3 minutes, not quite. 3 tries in the space of 7 minutes, early second half. It felt like 7 tries. It was game over. It was 24-0, and you knew there was no way the Roosters were getting back into it. For the victors, that I don't know who got man of the match or who got the Dally M points in the end, but I thought Sorensen was as good as any, including a lot of his teammates who are going to be in line to get reselected for rep jerseys. The talking point out of this game, as well as the Panthers probably just reminding us all how good they are, and, you know, that's now twice in a month that the Panthers have beat the Roosters by a big score. So, again, you know, is there a case to be made for Edwards? But I don't think I think we've said this before. New South Wales is going to go down with the ship, or Freddie certainly is. He's not going to drop his captain mid-series. And when you've lost Cleary, it weakens the case for Edwards, because part of Edwards' case would have been the Penrith connection. Now, we don't even know if the Blues are going to pick Luai. And it's unfair on Edwards to say, oh, you only pick him if there's a bunch of other Penrith players. But I do think it would have been a factor in his favour that's not there. So although he's won the head-to-head against Teddy convincingly twice now in recent memory, we all know the Blues are going to go with Tedesco. And you can understand that. As Ryan says, Yo got man of the match. And he was also, yeah, very strong and had a try, had another very near try. The only other point I make on this game was the talking point. It was the water bottle incident. Warrior Hargraves spraying it at Salmon and Spencer Lenu and then throwing it at them as well. And Spencer cocking a fist. I didn't see a punch, but he did get sent to the bin. And it's kind of funny that Lenu has been signed to take Warrior Hargraves' spot, but there's a possibility they could end up being teammates next year if JWH stays on as well. I don't know. I'm not that impressed when someone's kind of layering up or instigating stuff when your team is being blown away. You kind of feel like if you wanted to impact the game, you needed to do it earlier when it was still a contest. And finally, a game that wasn't a contest today was Storm 54 defeating the Sharks 10. And I thought this had the potential to be a really high quality game. I just discussed before Adam Reynolds, as Harry Potter says, this is Brad Fittler's last series as a coach. Look, it is, unless they win game 2 and game 3. And a lot of people are saying New South Wales is not going to win the series this year. But New South Wales are like $2.40 to win game two. So are you certain the Blues aren't going to win game 2? Because I don't see everyone rushing to back Queensland $1.60. Maybe there should be, with some doubt over some key New South Wales players. My point is, if you're not putting everything, and you shouldn't, because we always want to gamble responsibly, but if you don't think that the Maroons are a certainty to win game 2, If the Blues win game two, a lot of people will change their tune and will then pick the Blues in game three. And the Blues will probably be favourites in game three if it is 1-1. So it is so funny to see, you know, people's opinions switch. Just like last year, people said, no way any of us can win the series after losing game one at home. And I know they ended up being right, but New South Wales was $1.30 in the decider. Perceptions change. That's my point. Perceptions can change quite a lot. So New South Wales know what they have to do. They've got to win the next two games to salvage a few people's Origin careers. I'm talking probably players and coaches. And the reason I bring up Origin again ahead of Sharks Storm is I also think Nico Hines was watching Adam Reynolds and is very interested in who's going to get picked at halfback. And I've never seen Nico, a player that is usually playing so calm and you just can't speed him up and you can't rattle him, I've never seen him so uncomposed. And this is, you know, ahead of having to play in the toughest atmosphere and environment that there is in a must-win game in Brisbane, and people saying it's Nico's time to play the seven. And if you watch him today, I don't know if you can still pick him. What did you guys think? Am I being too harsh because it's just one bad game? But Nico especially had four errors in the first 20 minutes. It was part of the reason that the Storm blitzed these tries. It was try after try after try. It was bad enough. I think the halftime score was like, well, the score just before halftime was like 22-6. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's like, it's not game over, but Cronulla wants to try and jag one before halftime and definitely can't concede. Well, Cronulla conceded two more before halftime. They conceded a try in the 39th and 40th minute. So another game that was just over. Second half was not compelling whatsoever because it was just a blowout. We can make the joke that Clarkie referred to on Wednesday. You can't win the comp if you concede it over 50. So do we put a line through the Sharks? I want to know, guys, what you think, because I'm struggling to put my finger on Cronulla. I really thought they'd compete hard today, and I gave them strong consideration for a best bet. Why didn't I bet Cronulla today? As Zach Brown says, Nico absolutely crumbled. I'd take Moses over him at this point. And I saw a comment earlier that said, if Freddie picks Moses, basically sack Freddie on the spot. So it is so fascinating at all the different opinions, but I love it. What was I saying about the Sharks? Yeah, so I definitely expected a bounce back for Melbourne. Let's not forget, Melbourne got 45 put on last week, right? So that's not surprising or shocking that Melbourne came out angry with a point to prove. But the thing is, the Sharks were off a disappointing loss as well, and theirs was at home. So I'm starting to kind of wonder, what's the Sharks' excuses? Like, did they just run into a really, really strong, defensively sound Brisbane last week and just couldn't quite crack them? And then they just catch the Storm on the wrong day. But I really feel like you're running out of excuses for Cronulla at this point because they're close to full strength. You know, Melbourne are the ones who are still sweating on Pappenhausen, who've had some bad results. And for Melbourne this year, they've had some bad results, but then they have days like today that make you think they still are a top four contender. So it's a crazy one because in a different week, you'd say Cronulla's, you know, absolutely a top four side this year, backing up the second place finish last year. And Melbourne's just not as consistent, not as dominant as they were. And then you see a day like today and you say the exact opposite. Maybe the Sharks never really were the second best team in the comp. Maybe they got quite fortunate last year. Maybe now that teams are paying more attention to Cronulla, we're seeing kind of the chinks in the armor. And maybe we shouldn't be so dismissive of Melbourne, a team that has been, you know, one of the elite sides in the competition for the last like 15 years and has been able to reload and retool so many times. So that's the story out of this game. The questions I've got, as well as, you know, what do you make of Cronulla? As Jeremy says, Sharks are not contenders. Remember Clarkie's stat that they repeated, Cronulla's yet to beat a top eight team. So that continues, which is definitely a bad sign. And Ryan makes the same point. Can't beat a top eight side this year. Twist of Fate says, I did pretty good this week, zero wins. I hope that's not your tipping. And Alan says, Sharks not beating a top eight team, always a problem. So you can't take them too seriously until they can kind of beat someone. And this would have been an opportunity to make a bit of a statement. So obviously I haven't had a chance to listen to Craig Fitzgibbon or what he has to say, but that's my kind of thoughts on that game. But just to bring it back around again, Origin chat, right? So if you rule out Nico, which I almost feel like, as harsh as it is, maybe you do, then you're picking Reynolds at seven, right? So Appy's out. So we knew as soon as Appy got that injury, pretty much knew Damian Cook's going to be the nine. There might be some consideration for Robson, but I think Fittler goes with Cook. So then I think there'd be a massive temptation to go Cody Walker at six, but you've got the spanner in the works that Cody Walker didn't play yesterday. He's got the calf strain. So how serious is that calf strain? Could you still pick Cody Walker? Then you would potentially have Cook, Reynolds, Walker, Kalo Matangi, Cam Murray, Latrell Mitchell. You know, probably not Campbell Graham because he can't squeeze in the team. But if you pick all those players, you've got soft tissue injury concerns for Walker, for Murray, for Latrell. You know, then does that affect your preparation? Maybe they can't all train at full speed. Then have you got concerns? Are they going to recover in time? Or even if they do recover in time, is there a chance of re-aggravating an injury? You can't go into one of these games and lose a player early in a key position. So, oh boy, what a headache for Freddie. Or is he not even thinking the Souths connection? Is he going Mitch Moses, the man that he brought in a couple of years ago when Cleary had the shoulder injury, the man that you go back a while ago, Freddie coached Mitch Moses at the World Cup when Moses was playing for Lebanon, and he's always been a fan of his game. And look, Moses hasn't done that much wrong this year either. Paris had a tough draw, and don't forget, Paris made the grand final. So I can see the argument there, and Moses is probably a more similar style player to Nathan Cleary. As Ryan says, Reynolds and Luai. So let's not dismiss Jerome Luai either. Penrith looked pretty good yesterday, and Luai did nothing wrong in game two. So I could wax lyrical about origin selections and speculate all night, but I'll leave it there. I appreciate the comments that you guys have thrown in as well. And although I'll just add as well, utility, I think I go Matt Burton then on the bench. But you could still pick Nico as a utility again. So don't really envy Freddie. He's got it some tough decisions to make at the selection table. Now, tomorrow is Dogs Eels. We didn't have a best bet on the game. I did say in the preview, I think it's super unpredictable just because I don't know how the Eels are going to respond to the Dylan Brown situation, and that is a big loss. But I don't really rate the Dogs highly either. However, I know you guys want a couple of tips. We've still got a couple of tips to come, and that includes one in this game that I'm going to give to you courtesy of Nicol from WikiAI, and it's going to be a try scorer tip. Let's see who Nicol's got for us.
So the Eels are missing Dylan Brown, and the Dogs have Reid Marnie officially cleared to play. I reckon this line should be a lot closer than it is. I'm going to go with my gut on this one and go Josh Adokar, first try scorer on better at 11s. I think Josh Adokar, the left side of the Dogs, I reckon will be humming up against the Eels side with no Dylan Brown, and I reckon it's going to be a really close game, a lot closer than the line suggests. Our content, our data tools, our Discord, it's all free, by the way. We've even made a Facebook group. Just Google Wiki Linktree and you can check it out. We're fresh off hitting four try scorers between 46 and 101s last weekend. So good luck and gamble responsibly, everyone.
Thanks to Nicol for that. So jump on Adokar on better first try if you like the sound of that. I think last time Nicol gave us a first try scorer was Alex Johnston, and he made the case why it was a good bet. Like, you might say, oh, it's not that hard to pick, but he made the case why his data supported that being a really strong play. Johnston didn't score first, but did score a hat-trick in that game. So the tip was not far off the mark, and there's other ways to kind of execute if you think that's a good play. I'm going to give you guys a bonus tip. The Blues to win. The Carlton Blues, that is. So I'm giving you an AFL tip. It's starting in about 30, 40 minutes. If you've got any interest or you watch that sport, I'm a fan of AFL. I just never really find enough time to watch it, obviously, because I, you know, deep dive the NRL, watch every minute of that. But I just noticed this game was on tonight, and I did have a quick look at it, and I've got an observation here that we've got Carlton at home has lost five straight games, and you've got Essendon that has won three in a row, and yet it's Pick'em. Smells fishy to me. I think the Blues are going to win. If you're interested, or if you know more about AFL than me, tell me why I'm wrong. Maybe you're going the Bombers. But someone said to me, baggers are flaggers. So Carlton Blues, pick them tonight, bonus tip. And then I'm back Wednesday with Clarkey to preview round 16. I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for tuning in with me tonight. And Lego.